So, folks, today we are thrilled to have a distinguished guest in our virtual studio, none other than Jay Maniyar. With a career journey that encompasses aspiring to be a commercial pilot and eventually evolving into a seasoned CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Jay brings a unique perspective to the world of finance and business coaching. As the former Director of Operations for KPMG Middle East, Jay's focus has consistently been on small businesses, startups, and scale-ups. A dedicated Enterprise Nation local leader and advisor, Jay wears multiple hats, delivering tailored mentorship solutions and comprehensive workshops to businesses of all sizes. Not only does Jay hold a wealth of experience in renowned corporations like Sanyo, Iveco, and KPMG, but their commitment to digital business transformation, coupled with additional qualifications from MIT, Columbia Business School, it showcases a dedication to providing innovative solutions that are crucial for small businesses. And as we prepare to delve into our conversation on an interesting topic at hand, how to develop a value proposition, I think you must have heard about this term value proposition in many of the startup conversations, and especially when you go for evaluation, when you go for funding, people ask the first question that comes to them is, what is the value proposition? Why should we invest? So before we dive into this exciting topic, here's an exciting twist. First, let us tickle Jay's brain. So Jay, as we delve into the rapid fire round of random words, like I'm going to ask you a few random words and I would love to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response without thinking much. Are you ready for it?
Absolutely. Let's go.
Okay, here comes my first word, curiosity.
Exploration.
Invention.
Innovation.
Future.
Possibilities.
Book.
Hunt for Red October.
Movie.
Relaxation.
Food.
Delight.
Universe.
Ooh, question mark.
Leadership.
Vision.
Role model.
Inspiration.
And the last one is success.
Achievement.
Awesome. Spot on. I think you have answers to everything, and that was so rapid. Thank you so much for being so nimble and so crisp, and really appreciate it. And Jay, there is one more rapid fire round waiting towards the end of the episode. And folks,
I'm look forward to that.
Folks, welcome to the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Navin Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life, but also to your career. And thank you so much for tuning in. Jay, hearty welcome to the Guiding Voice, and TGV community welcomes you, and it's an absolute pleasure to host you today. And before we get into our conversation, I would like to thank my mentee, Stephen Robin, again. And he has been a great mentee. He has been connecting me with amazing souls like you. So thank you, Steve. Keep up the good work. And Jay, hearty welcome. How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be riding along on this TGV journey with you.
All right. So pleasure is equally mine. And let's get the ball rolling, Jay. We'll begin with your success mantra. So please talk to us about the top three things that have attributed or contributed to your success so far.
Yeah, sure. So the three things I would say we're really focused on are continuous learning and adaptability. I think throughout my career, I've always embraced this mindset of continuous learning. So while I was at KPMG in the Middle East, I did a lot of work on digital transformation. Found it so fascinating. I did the postgraduate diploma with MIT Columbia Business School. And it's I feel, you know, this fast-paced nature of the business world, especially in finance and coaching, demands you have to be adaptable. And you've got to stay updated with like the industry trends, technologies, and all these evolving leadership practices. And that has all been pivotal. I think the second thing has really been the passion for empowering others. I have a phrase that I always use: success comes from helping others succeed. So whether it's helping small businesses navigate the financial challenges or coaching entrepreneurs to unlock their leadership potential, I think the satisfaction of contributing to other people's success, you know, fuels my own. And then finally, strategic vision and problem solving. My background as a CFO has really helped hone my sort of strategic vision, problem solving skills. I think being able to analyze these complex financial scenarios, devise effective strategies, and really guide businesses through challenges has been crucial. I think the ability to merge financial acumen with leadership insights, it's really been invaluable in helping me to support startups and scale-ups.
Amazing. Amazing. I think you have quite a diverse portfolio. And one thing that resonated well with me is success comes from helping others succeed. This reminds me of a quote, leadership is about developing more leaders, not just the followers. And I can see that you also find passion in developing others. And that is a really great. And Jai, let's move to the next one. Like, you aspire to be a commercial pilot and you became a seasoned CFO. So how did your early aspirations shape your approach to finance? And what motivated the transition to supporting the small businesses and startups specifically?
Okay, so this has been a wild and unusual journey. So my love for flying actually started with a trip from when I was very, very young. We visited family in India. I think I must have been around 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And I had to come back early because I had school. And my mom and my really younger brothers, they stayed on longer. So I was traveling alone by myself, mm-hmm. you know, back to London Heathrow. And I just remember this lovely air hostess who was, looking after me. And she managed to get me into the cockpit. She managed to get me to meet with the captain. And I fell in love with the whole, can you imagine a little boy looking at the cockpit, you know, all these dials, absolutely yeah. amazing, blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I took a degree in aerospace engineering and, you know, with the vision of becoming a pilot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there was something that happened and I just thought, actually, I don't want to be just the pilot anymore. To me, you know, I think that all the fun of flying has gone because everything's been automated.
Yeah.
And I actually want to do something more now. So, you know, I started navigating the financial clouds instead of the literal ones. So I started taking flying lessons and I'm partway through to getting my private pilot's license. And the thing around flying has taught me precision, discipline, and the need to stay cool under pressure. Mm-hmm. These skills really came in handy. Wow. Plus, I realized, you know, the thrill wasn't limited to just the cockpit. I think finance had its own adrenaline rush. And I apologize for sounding like a nerd, but especially when you're steering businesses through challenges. So having this shift from big corporates, well, flying big corporates and now, supporting small businesses, for me, it's all about the underdogs. I think small businesses, whenever you look at any articles around the world, they always say small businesses are the engines of all, you know, everybody's economy. They're the heartbeat of innovation. So when I saw an opportunity to bring my financial know-how to the table and help these ambitious businesses carve their path, it's like being their financial wingman, you know, help them take off and soar. So the energy and dynamism in the startup world is contagious.
Super. And I love the way you explain it as well. I think you are super passionate about this particular space. And
Absolutely.
That is clearly evident. And Jai, as a CFO and also a business coach, you bring in a unique blend of strategic financial insights as well as leadership development. So how do you balance these dual roles to empower entrepreneurs with both financial acumen as well as leadership skills?
I think I'm still trying to figure out what that balance sweet spot is. You've got to walk this tightrope between numbers mm-hmm. and leadership. And as a CFO and business coach, you know, finding that sweet spot is a challenge. See, on the financial side, it's about talking the language of numbers without making it sound like a foreign one. And when you break down that financial maze and you make it digestible, you're helping to show entrepreneurs the roadmap without drowning them in jargon. And, you know, I see numbers are a tool, and tools should be easy to use. They should not be a puzzle. They should not scare people away. And you know, I as an accountant, as a chartered accountant, okay, I feel I'm qualified to criticize other accountants. And I don't like when accountants get very technical with businesses. I feel like you're not really providing them the value that you should be doing. And then when you come over to, say, the leadership front, I think it's about being a coach and cheerleader. You know, leadership isn't just about giving orders. It's about inspiring. It's about empowering. And if you're able to provide different perspectives, you know, make people think that one of the biggest compliments I receive, and this is a high I always chase, is when I go to have a mentoring session with somebody, and at the end of it, they say, you know what? I didn't think of it that way. And for me, that's like, I did my job, you know? And if when you can give people that mind shift and they can see that there are other options available, and really you want to remind them that, you know, setbacks are just setups for comebacks. See, I think the magic really happens when you can connect that financial smarts with leadership savvy. Because let's face it, numbers alone are never going to make your business soar. It needs a captain with a vision. And I think that's the balance I'm trying to aim for.
Amazing. And you mentioned leaders should act like a coach. Actually, this reminded one of my conversations with a coach who actually quit Nike. And she was talking about the way teams were organized. Every manager acts like a coach there, not just like a supervisor kind of thing. And they try to push the limits of the team members beyond. I think that is very, very important here. And one other aspect which I like the most is you mentioned that leader should be a cheerleader, right? It's not about always pointing about their mistakes and finding some data points to screw up their appraisal system, but it's more about how do they excel by cheerleading them. I loved it. So, Jay, given your focus on the startups as well as scale-ups, I would like to understand from you the common financial challenges that you observe during those conversations, and how do you guide these businesses in overcoming these hurdles while simultaneously fostering the innovation? Because innovation is a bloodline, right? It is very important for any business to survive. It is no more a 2-3 year game. We have to think minimum 5-10 years, 20 years or more.
Yeah. Great question. Really good question. I mean, first up, it's, you know, cash flow. Cash flow is the lifeblood, right? I mean, many startups face the challenge of managing cash flow effectively. And it's like walking around with this little bucket of water, but other people are coming along and shooting holes into it. And you've got to block those bullets. And secondly, you've got to block the cash leaks. So that's always a challenge. I think the second part is this sort of chasing the investors. Getting funding is exciting. Yeah. Okay? But getting funding is be careful what you wish for. You know, many people go into business because they think, I want to be my own boss. I want to be in command of my own destiny. I want to control my shit, right?
Yeah.
The moment you have an investor, you've now got a boss, and you need to now balance your vision for the company, your ambitions, with their expectations. So be very careful with that, because that is a delicate dance.
Yeah.
You mentioned innovation, and you're absolutely right. To me, innovation is like the wild card. You want to foster it, and innovation, you know, it costs money. And this is the thing, again, about finding that sweet spot where there's financial stability and creative freedom can, you know, both exist at the same time. And that is a high-stakes chess game. And I think bringing that all together, you know, for me, the guidance is all about practical advice, strategic thinking, and really helping set up like a solid financial foundation, which you can then navigate all the financing, you know, the funding rounds, whether you're pre-seed, Series A, Series B, and really being able to embrace that innovation without going bankrupt. I think focusing on being a financial mentor first, a leadership coach second, and a therapist in last, really, is how I sort of help steer a lot of businesses through that financial maze.
Amazing. Now let's jump into the core of today's conversation. That's defining this value proposition. And I had an interesting conversation with one of the VCs from India, and who covered a beautiful topic on startups should focus on value addition rather than valuation, right? So that's why I'm curious, to understand directly or to hear from the horse's mouth. So how do you define a value proposition in the context of small businesses, and why do you think it is crucial for their success?
Very good question. Really good question. Are you familiar with Mike Tyson, the boxer?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, he's got that famous quote, which a lot of people use, and I love it. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Okay? And for me, it's, well, entrepreneurs, welcome to the boxing ring of business. When that marketing plan falls flat, clients aren't knocking on your door, and your revenue hits a plateau, that's the punch in the face. So now what do you do? You know, and here's where your value proposition steps in. It's your North Star. Yeah. And just to clarify what North Star means, in, you know, back in the old days when sailing ships used to, you know, travel the oceans, they didn't have GPS, so they used to use stars. And the North Star was the brightest one. And if you could figure out, you could see that, was it behind you? Was it in front of you? To the left of you? You can orient your ship and you're back in, you know, back on course. And the value proposition is your North Star. It's your reminder of what makes you awesome. You know, when everything else seems to be going haywire, it's like Tyson stepping back into the ring. Regroup, remember your strengths. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big advocate of the business model canvas. Some people know it as the lean canvas, you know. And here's why, you know, when you're in the ring and it feels like you've taken a beating, that canvas is your playbook. For me, you should really spend time on it, understand it inside and out. It's not just a diagram. It's your battle strategy. It's the roadmap back to your value proposition. It's the essence of why you started this journey. You know, be clear on what you do so that buyers understand. Don't be a commodity. Buyers can't find similar offers, okay? That's where you want to be. And don't be directly comparable to other businesses. If a buyer can't directly compare you, your offer has a better chance of standing out. So entrepreneurs, when the going gets tough and you've taken that unexpected punch, you know, don't panic. Go back to your value proposition. Remember your strengths, consult that trusted business model canvas, and it might be that 1-2 combo that, you know, turns the tide back in your favor.
Mm-hmm. Great. Again, digging into your experience, right? What are some common misconceptions do these entrepreneurs have about crafting a value proposition? And how can they overcome these misconceptions to create a more impactful message?
So whenever I'm running one of these sessions on using the business model canvas, you know, right in the middle, it's all about the value proposition, okay? The first thing I write in the on top, okay, is to say, don't sell anything that you wouldn't buy yourself. Okay. You have to believe in your products and services so much that the enthusiasm is obvious to your clients. I think we live in a world where there are so many possibilities and it's easy to go chasing after every shiny thing that comes before you. You know, it's very easy to say, okay, I think my market is this. Maybe my product should have these features. No, actually my market should now be this. And I think that's a huge mistake. I think when you're unclear, you lose that opportunity to experience what I call true fulfillment in knowing what's important to you, what's important to me, and executing it. It's a bit like, you know, in Japan, I was reading about how there are sushi chefs who spend 20 years just learning how to craft, you know, slice the perfect fish, 20 years just to do one thing. And, you know, it becomes something of pride, joy. And I think that's something that gets lost along the way. You know, we're so busy trying to chase the dollar, we forget about what it is that actually drives us to, you know, focus on the business. Mm-hmm. So I think one common misconception is that a value proposition is just a fancy way to list features, you know? And I think entrepreneurs sometimes think, hey, if I tell people what I've got, they'll be sold. Not quite, you know? It's not a shopping list. It's a story. Entrepreneurs never really sit down and properly consider what it is. What do I really stand for? And I think another trap is assuming that everyone understands the value proposition the same way you do. And as an example, you know, if I say, picture a color green, the color green you're thinking of is going to be very different to the color green that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
So you need to break it down, simplify it. So even your grandma would say, got it. I understand exactly what this is. And then there's the idea that a value proposition is a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like a wedding vow. It's an ongoing relationship. You know, your business evolves and so should your value proposition. It's not a one-hit wonder. It's got to grow with you. So how do you overcome all of this? First, ditch that shopping list approach, okay? Focus on the benefits. Explain how your product or service transforms their lives. And don't assume, you know, test your value proposition with real people. If they don't get it, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
And then lastly, treat your value proposition like a living document. Don't file it and forget it. Update it, refine it, let it grow with your business.
Amazing, amazing. So Jay, now I would love to hear from you. Maybe if you could share an example where a well-crafted value proposition played a pivotal role in the success of a business, maybe in securing funding or scaling up the business or in any way, and what key elements really made it effective?
Yeah. So let me give you a sort of a very high level one, because I don't want to breach any confidentiality issues here. So there was a tech startup. They were in the world of sort of automotive. But there's your value proposition. There's your customer segments. I kept thinking, you know this better than I do. I'm new to this, but let me just challenge your thinking on this. And then, long story short, we uncovered about three, maybe four new customer segments. And what that was able to do was to strengthen the value proposition so much. You've come across like the phrase defensibility moat. And this is something that, you know, all venture capitalists, angel investors, they all ask, you know, when you present your pitch deck. Firstly, they're going to say, who are your competitors? How are you going to defend yourself? Okay. What this value proposition was able to do was to show that they were in such a strong position that they were able to actually secure a third of the funding requirement that they had with zero traction from just one investor. And that's how pivotal this can be.
Amazing. And Jay, this has been one of the great conversations, especially related to startup funding as well as value proposition, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. And it's time for us to add some more spice, some more excitement to the episode. So if you are okay, I'll kick off the second rapid fire round with a set of intriguing questions. Are you ready?
Yes, let's go for it.
Okay. Here comes the first bullet. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Ooh. Embrace the chaos, do it with a smile.
Wow, embrace chaos. Awesome. And what is one thing you are really bad at that you wish you were good or better at?
Oh, okay. Impressions. There's a guy called Bill Hader. He's an actor, and you may see him in some of the films. He does these amazing impressions of Tom Cruise, Al Pacino, Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're fantastic. I wish I had that skill.
Interesting. And Jay, can you describe yourself in just one word?
I actually had to ask some of my friends about this, and they all unanimously said mischievous.
And what is your favorite thing about living in the current exciting times, the 21st century?
I think it's got to be the interconnectedness. I mean, the world is literally at our fingertips. And, you know, when you think about it, the way that we have met is just so random and yet so possible.
Good. And here comes the next one. If you could have any superpower, maybe imagine like being invisible or gaining Superman-like strength or something of that sort, what would it be and why?
I think I'm going to have to go with the majority on this and say teleportation, because you know what? There are times when I want a Hyderabadi biryani and I think, you know what? I could just teleport there, have it instantly fresh.
Amazing. And here comes the last bullet out of rapid fire round. And again, you may not link it with the teleportation, and I would like to hear a different answer. So what is one electronic gadget that you'd like to see or invent yourself?
That's a really good question. Okay. I'm a bit of a nerd. I love playing computer games. And you know, when you're playing some of these games, they have like this health bar above, and you know how much you need to beat up the other, you know, player or something. And it, you know, goes from green to orange to red, and then it finally zaps, and then you defeat that opponent. What would be really good is if we had a bar like that, where you could see other people's happiness, you know? Yeah. And then you'd be able to, I think we'd be so much more compassionate and empathic towards other people. Imagine, you know, you're driving, somebody cuts you up and you see that their bar is almost red and you think, you know what? Guy's having a lousy day. I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to get stressed over it.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Quite interesting. And Jay, this has been great rapid fire. Again, let's be back to the mainstream. So as we conclude this insightful conversation, so if there is one piece of advice or a practical tip that you'd like to leave our audience with, a nugget of wisdom that they can carry with them on their entrepreneurial journey, so what would that be? And what is the one thing you believe can make a significant impact on their approach to developing a value proposition or navigating the business challenges?
Okay. That's a very good question. Okay, let me see how I can sum this up. I think embrace the journey, as I said before. Keep your compass pointed at your value proposition. You know, when the storm hits and you feel like you've taken that punch in the face, don't forget to dance with your strengths. Your value proposition isn't just a tagline. It's your guiding star. And remember, in the world of business, adaptability is your superpower. So stay agile, stay true, keep innovating. The road is absolutely going to twist and turn, but that's where the real adventure begins. So enjoy that entrepreneurial journey and may your value proposition always be your North Star.
Amazing. And thank you so much. I loved all the insights. I think these are going to extremely help our startup community and the community of entrepreneurs who are listening or who are watching this episode. And Jay, I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And how is your experience being hosted on The Guiding Voice?
It's been an absolute pleasure. I think, you know, the energy, the questions, the vibe, everything has just been top notch. I think this is, it's a platform that truly values insightful conversation. And I love your professionalism, the engaging format. It's been a fantastic experience for me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And it was such a pleasure hosting you. And thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining me in this insightful conversation. And look forward to hosting you again in future. So, pleasure to host you, Jay.
I'd love that. That would be fantastic. Thank you.
All right. So, friends, that was our episode with Jay Maniyar. And before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request for you. If you haven't already subscribed to The Guiding Voice podcast, please subscribe from wherever you have tuned in, because subscribing keeps you updated on the new episodes. And also, if you have enjoyed the conversation and found it useful, please share with at least three of your friends or colleagues who would also like TGV, The Guiding Voice. So spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. Now let's talk about value proposition in detail. And now that we had amazing conversation, some practical insights and inputs from Jay, I thought I would present to you a few facts that complement what Jay has already covered. And here are three well-known and widely recognized value propositions that have played a significant role in shaping their respective industries. First one is Apple, which came up with a Think Different tagline. And Apple's value proposition is centered around innovation, design, and a seamless user experience. And the Think Different campaign, launched in the late 1990s, encapsulates Apple's commitment to challenging the status quo and providing products that are not just technologically advanced, but also beautifully designed and beautifully packaged as well. And the focus on simplicity, elegance, and most importantly, user-friendly interfaces has set Apple apart in the tech industry. And second is about Amazon, Earth's biggest selection. And Amazon's value proposition revolves around providing customers with the widest selection of products at competitive prices, coupled with a convenient and efficient shopping experience. And the emphasis on being the Earth's biggest selection and also the Earth's most customer-centric organization speaks to the idea that customers can find almost anything they need on Amazon. And the company's commitment to customer satisfaction, fast delivery, and also no questions asked returns and a vast array of choices has made it a dominant force in e-commerce across the globe. And third is about Tesla, accelerating the world's transition to sustainable energy. And Tesla's value proposition is rooted in sustainability and cutting-edge technology. And the company aims to revolutionize the automotive industry by offering electric vehicles that are not only environmentally friendly, but are also of high performance. And the commitment to sustainability is combined with a focus on innovation, sleek design, has positioned Tesla as a leader in the EV market. These three examples demonstrate how a compelling value proposition can define a brand that resonates with the customers and sets the company apart in a crowded marketplace. And each of these companies have successfully communicated a unique and appealing promise to its target audience. And I'm sure when I mentioned these brand names, their logos or their products might have popped up in your mind. That is how they are good at selling their value proposition. And that's it from my side, from the value proposition perspective. But I would love to hear from you. What is your favorite brand that has sold their value proposition efficiently, even if it is a startup or a big-sized corporate? Please let me know what you like in them the most. And I would love to review your comments. If you can comment them on YouTube, or if you are watching, if you have found this episode on some social media platform, you can comment there as well. I'm going to go through them for sure. And that's it for today's episode. So thank you so much for tuning in, and also for being part of awesome TGV community. Folks, would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas, feedback, topic recommendations, guest speaker suggestions, or any other thoughts you may have. You can share them through social media, or you can email us at theguidingvoiceforyou@gmail.com, and let's create content that resonates with you. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner, and my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. So until next time, take care, stay inspired, and remember, the future holds great things because the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you on the next episode with another amazing guest.